In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is born. Since this is the Sunday after Nativity, we always commemorate on this day the prophet and King David, Joseph the betrothed, and James the brother of the Lord. And to be honest with you, I don't know historically why that has come to be, but I'll give you some spiritual reasons for it. A synaxis is the word means gathering, and it is something that is celebrated after every feast, or most feasts, for the principles in the feast that were not commemorated directly. So, for instance, the nativity of Christ is about the birth of Christ, but obviously a very important person in that story is the Theotokos. So we have the synaxis of the Theotokos the next day. The baptism of Christ was obviously made possible by the obedience of St. John the Baptist. So the synaxis of St. John the Baptist is the following day after Nativity. And this is a kind of a synaxis too, because these are principal and important people that are involved in the Lord's life. Let's go in age order, I suppose. We'll start with David. Jesus Christ is called the Son of David, and the reason why is because he is of the tribe of Judah, as David is. And this was important because St. Paul speaks in the Hebrews about how there would be a necessity of a change of priesthood because of the nature of the high priest. The Jewish priesthood was from the Levitical tribe, not from the tribe of Judah. But the Lord is from the tribe of Judah, being called the Son of David. But there are other things that are very important about David that we should glean. Really, David is a perfect example for a Christian to follow. Now, some people would argue, but David did terrible things. Yes, he did. David committed adultery, and then he committed murder to cover up that adultery. But then he received the rebuke about his murder with great humility. This is a king who could lop anybody's head off at a mere snapping of his fingers, but he received the rebuke of the prophet. And he wrote Psalm 50, which we should, I hope you do, say every day. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy great mercy, and the rest. It shows great humility. And actually, if you look at Psalm 50, it is the perfect model for repentance, because there is not only great sorrow and confessing to God, but if you see at the end, there is great confidence and promise to God that he will change and that he will live righteously. And so Psalm 50 is the perfect psalm to teach us about repentance. Really, most of us get repentance wrong, myself also. We either are very sorry for things and we don't change enough, or we are not sorry enough. David had the right combination: deep sorrow with tears and with anguish of heart. But then, because he wanted to change, he opened his heart and God came in. And he was a righteous man. We call him a man after God's own heart. God calls him that, not just us. So David had great humility and great obedience. The humility was from the rebuke of the prophet. He could have killed him, but instead he realized that he had sinned greatly. Also, there was a time when he was being hounded because of his sins, and he was being criticized by some people. And his soldiers said, "Why don't you just let us go and kill them all?" David said, "No, I deserve it." Great humility. And his obedience, he was obedient to God. Remember when he was being hounded by Saul and he hid in a cave? Saul slept at the entrance to the cave and David snuck out of the cave. Now he could have killed Saul right then and there and his problem would have been over. But Saul was God's anointed. And so what did he do? He took a spear and he stabbed it in the ground near Saul's head as a definite message that I was here, but I did not kill you. He was obedient to God. Most people, if they had their arch enemy lying there, would have killed him. Of course, David was brave in facing Goliath. Not brave in terms of he was not afraid of physical injury or something. I mean, a lot of people are brave in that way. He was brave because he depended on God with great faith. So he was a man with faith, humility, and obedience. And yes, he sinned, but he had also the capacity in his heart to repent. And that's why we should especially revere and venerate and pray to David, because he was a man who knew how to repent. And it's more important to know how to repent than it is to not sin, because I'll tell you what, every one of us is going to sin. But we must learn to be sorrowful for our sins and to open ourselves up to God's love so that we would change. That's usually where most of us get messed up. As a pastor, I would say the place where people most have troubles is after they have sinned and when their sorrow becomes dysfunctional sorrow. And if your sorrow is dysfunctional, you'll actually sin more, not less. So we should learn from David. If you're not saying Psalm 50 every day, then you should. It's in the morning prayers. Make sure you say it. Then let's talk about Joseph. Joseph the betrothed. He was an older man. Tradition says that he was 80 years old when our Lord was born. And he was a widower. He had several children. And he was righteous and holy and meek and humble. And he took on a task which very few older men would want to take on. And he bore the shame of having a pregnant young girl at his side. Not everybody knew what the reason for the pregnancy was. In fact, most people didn't. And he took care of the Theotokos and our Lord for about 30 years. And tradition says that he reposed just before the Lord began his public ministry. There's not much said about Joseph in the Gospels. We don't know that much about his life. But we know that he was selected to be the protector of the Theotokos and to be the foster father of our Lord. So he must have been incredibly holy. And Joseph teaches me something that I need to relearn every day. I don't know if you do. Maybe you do. Just do what is right. Don't look for credit. Joseph didn't get any credit. It was hard. They lived in Nazareth, a little backwater town, a town of ill repute. And Joseph just did what was right. Didn't get any much credit in this life, but in the next life, he's glorified. Let's remember that about Joseph and try to do that ourselves. So much of what we do is so that we can get recognition. Joseph didn't get his recognition in this life, but he does in the next. James was a son of Joseph, and he is called the brother of the Lord. Now, Joseph had other sons, too. He had Jude, I believe Reuben, and if I'm not incorrect, Simeon. And Salome was one of his daughters. And none of his other sons are called brother of the Lord, although they are, right? They're basically related by marriage to the Lord. But only James is called the brother of the Lord. And the reason why is because when Joseph became old and knew that he was going to die, he wanted to divide up his inheritance to his sons. And he counted Jesus as one of his sons. Now, everybody knew that Jesus was not from his loins. But he wanted to count Jesus as a son. And Jude took exception to this. He didn't like that idea. Because Jesus was not related to Joseph. But James said, let him take my portion then. And for this he is counted as brother of the Lord, because he counted himself as the Lord's brother. And Jude, He made a mistake. There's no doubt about it. But from that point on, he referred to himself as Jude, the brother of James. Jude was one of the 12 apostles, not James. James was one of the 70. He was not one of the 12. Even though he was very holy and obedient and loved the Lord, he was not one of the 12. Jude was. But he always called himself brother of James out of deference to his brother and remembering his previous sin. James was a virgin, never married, and he was the first bishop of Jerusalem. Now, that is a remarkable thing. He was not one of the 12. The 12 were preeminent, and yet they had such respect for James that the most important episcopal position in the ancient church, in the early church, was filled by James, the bishop of Jerusalem. Now, to me, that's absolute evidence that that papism is a heresy and a blasphemy. Because if Peter was truly preeminent in every way, he would have been the bishop of Jerusalem. But no, James was the bishop of Jerusalem and presided at the first council in Jerusalem that's recounted in Acts. James wrote an amazing epistle, one of my favorites in all of Scripture. You should read it often. If you don't read it a dozen times a year, you're starving yourself. You need to read it often. It's a beautiful epistle. It has those famous things in it like faith without works is dead. The whole epistle is a beautiful moral treatise on how to live. So try to read this epistle as often as you can. I guess a good rule of thumb is to read it a half dozen times a year or so. James was said to have knees like a camel because he was always kneeling in prayer so much. And he was one of the first martyrs, I believe, actually, among the apostles, he was the first martyr. I might be incorrect about that. But he's one of the 70, but among the principles of the early church, he was killed relatively early the Jews took him up to the top of a building and they threw him off. And he didn't die from that fall, but then someone came and took a piece of wood and hit his head and bashed his head in and killed him. He's a great saint with great humility, with great holiness. We must emulate these saints. Now, the reason Joseph and James are part of this crew is because, of course, they were very much involved in our Lord's life and his ministry. Both before, of course, his public ministry and James very much after. So that's why they're part of this group. David, I think, because our Lord is the son of David. Let's glean everything we can from the lives of these saints. David was a man who sinned greatly, but he repented even more. Let's remember that. There's no sin that God will not forgive, except the one you don't confess. Except the one you don't repent from. So struggle to repent of your sins. If there are sins that bother you, even sins that you've confessed before, but they seem to be sort of always there, then talk to me about it. God can forgive everything. And much, much more than just forgive everything. God can heal everything. And we learn that from the life of David. You should read his life. It's remarkable. He made a lot of mistakes, but he was a man of great faith, great humility, great obedience, and the capacity to repent. And as a pastor, I can tell you, those are rare things in people, especially the capacity to truly, effectually repent of sin. That's a skill that few of us have. Joseph served the Lord quietly, without recognition. Let's learn to do that. And James, he counted himself as brother of the Lord, and he was full of wisdom and purity. May God help us through the prayers of these saints. Amen.